Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Lakota Music Project heads to Washington, D.C. for an unprecedented cultural initiative. I'm going to quote resound musicologist Joseph Horowitz here when he says, the Lakota Music Project has been nationally distinctive in forging a mutually respectful relationship between contemporary classical music and Native American practice. So Delta David Geyer is here with me, Maestro Delta David Geyer, and Executive Director of the Orchestra, Jennifer Teisinger, here. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Here's a list of who's going. So you've got the ensemble of nine musicians, so the strings and the woodwinds, right? Mm-hmm. There we go. And then Native American musicians Brian Akipa, Emmanuel Black Bear, Native American actor and activist Barry LeBeau, Lakota elder Chris Eaglehawk, Black Hill State University Professor Emeritus Ronnie Tice, and the maestro and Jennifer all heading out to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Did I forget anybody?
Oh, well, we have a couple extra staff members going as well.
Yeah. Right. This is a big deal and a long time coming.
Indeed.
Tell me, Delta David Geyer, about the residency first to sort of put into context. This is a national event.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, Joseph Horowitz, who's probably our leading American musicologist, many, many books, very well respected. He's been here several times. We've created programs with him. But when he experienced the Lakota Music Project, he saw how innovative it was and the uniqueness of it. And he said, I'm going to look for an opportunity to bring you to D.C. because this needs national attention. And sure enough, you know, we've already had two articles in the Washington Post, and like it's happening.
Right. Joseph Horowitz has been on this program. You've brought mm-hmm. him in, and he's here, and he does a lot of writing, as you say, online. I can't get to the bottom of. I can read and read, and there's always more.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah.
Just what what a great mind that you know, thinking about classical music today and all its all its various functions in history and relevance today. Jennifer, tell me a little bit about your sort of first encounter with Lakota Music Project, because that's before you even came to South Dakota Symphony
right.
Orchestra.
Right. Well, when I knew that I would be in conversation with the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra about coming here as the executive director, I was reading about the Lakota Music Project, and I recalled, yes, this is the orchestra that does the Lakota Music Project. That's what I knew about the South Dakota Symphony. From, 20 years of orchestral management experience, this is what, I couldn't quite remember where Lakota Music Project was, except that it was the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra that did it. And when I realized I would have the opportunity to be part of this organization that is doing this kind of work, it all of a sudden made the job even that much more exciting.
Right?
Because other orchestras aren't doing this. This is a completely new opportunity to be part of something like this.
There was a send-off concert Tuesday, October 15th at 7:30 p.m. in the Washington Pavilion, and then you hit the road through the 16th through the 21st, you're in residency. Tell me, Delta David Geyer, some of the highlights, because there's a lot happening that when you're out. You have to be, I know you've been planning this and been part of this for so long, but I have to think that when you're in some of these places, you'll be humbled by, it's humbling to think of this group of musicians playing in some of these venues and bringing this project to the country and the world.
Indeed, yeah. So the main program for us is on Saturday the 19th, and it's a performance at the Smithsonian Museum of the American Indian on the mall in Washington. And what the museum really wants is the history of the Lakota Music Project. How did you put it together? And honestly, one of the biggest challenges for that program is to make sure that us white folks aren't talking too much, because the museum's all about giving Native Americans a voice. So this will be a lot about Chris Eaglehawk, elder from Pine Ridge, Brian Akipa, cedar flute player from Sisseton, Emmanuel Black Bear, keeper of the drum for the Creekside Singers from Pine Ridge, and giving them the voice of what the Lakota Music Project has meant to them. And
Isn't going to be hard for you, because that's what you've been doing this whole time.
That's right.
Is stepping aside and handing the space to collaboratively, of course.
Well, yeah, also, you have to steer the ship, but you're right. It really is all about our collaboration. And then on Monday evening at the we have a program at the National Cathedral, and this is part of Joseph Horowitz's series. And our string quartet will be giving the world premiere of a very important quartet written a century ago by a composer named Arthur Farwell, who is categorized as an Indianist, which is and this is deliberately provocative in the sense of. Well, first of all, Joe really believes in the music, and that's the main reason for doing it. And our quartet will be featured on a Naxos recording, a CD, the world premiere of this piece. But it's also at this particular cultural moment that we're in at now, the whole idea of Indianist smacks of cultural appropriation and. Those kinds of questions, and there'll be forums for public discussion around each of these programs. So, and Joe welcomes that, you know, welcomes the controversy, you mm-hmm. know, and we've done that here. We, you know, with Joe actually, with, you know, is there a difference between cultural appropriation and cultural misappropriation, and commercialization, commodification of things versus the artistic representation and paying respect to other cultures, and which has always been part of classical music for hundreds of years. So these are discussions that will be had publicly there, and hopefully it won't come out with too much egg on my face.
That's one of the things I find interesting about this, and I'm wondering if you have more experience in those other spaces than I do, but I know every time... You know, if I have even friends who are not from South Dakota, or my daughter in college in New York City, the great gap of knowledge that there is even a living Lakota culture in other places can be astonishing when you leave the state, and the things that people will say. Not that people don't say things here in South Dakota, but when you go, you know, do you anticipate that there are going to be people in this venue who have never seen or considered that Lakota people exist outside of history books?
I don't anticipate that because of the spaces we're playing in because, you know, you go to the Museum of the American Indian, you know, I'm guessing that most of the people who are going to be coming to these performances will be people that are engaged, although there will be a certain percentage of people at the Saturday performance at the museum that are just there to be at the museum, mm-hmm. right? They're just coming. And so they'll happen upon us at that moment. So, but it, you know, it's not just Lakota. I mean, it's American Indians, period.
Right.
You know, and the history behind it, and that's. I mean, you're right. People on the coasts don't think a whole lot about Native Americans, and like the Lenape and in New Jersey, they've been gone for a long time. You know, so. My kids, when they were in school in New Jersey, they learned about Lenape history. You know, heck, I learned about Iroquois history living in Western New York in the 70s, you know, but never met an Iroquois person, you know. So, yeah, you're right about that. It's a very interesting thing to bring these living artists together with an orchestra.
Jennifer, what has as we talk about the send-off concert, tell me a little bit about the excitement and the buzz from people in South Dakota, from supporters of the Symphony Orchestra, to say it's a big thrill. Like, the world gets to see more of what we've been watching all along.
Right. Well, you know, first of all, this is the first time that the South Dakota Symphony's Lakota Music Project has performed outside of South Dakota, right? Mm-hmm. And for that first time leaving the state to be performing in Washington, D.C. is really telling, right? It's not that the first time that we're performing is in a neighboring state, which you would have thought would have happened already. Mm-hmm. But no, we're going all the way to D.C. So that in itself is very exciting. The other thing about Tuesday night is that it's the only opportunity for people to hear this year. It's the only time that we're performing this program in Sioux Falls or in South Dakota this year. So unless you come to Washington, D.C. with us, which we would love, your opportunity to hear the Lakota Music Project in this form is Tuesday night at 7:30. So this is in the Washington Pavilion, but it's in the Visual Art Gallery.
Oh.
So in a more intimate space, and it's free. We want everyone to come.
Tell us about, are there ways that people can interact with what's happening at the Smithsonian, what's happening at the National Cathedral? Will it be recorded? Well, sort of how can people follow along if they can't get to D.C.? Or is it a, you know, is that not really part of what's happening here?
I can speak to that. Facebook is a great way to follow what we're doing. In fact, we'll have three staff members with us, and we'll all be posting sort of constantly. So you can definitely follow us on Facebook. And we're expecting articles in various publications when we come back, including some beautiful photography of the Lakota Music Project at the National Museum of the American Indian. So you should hear the music on Tuesday and then follow us online and afterwards, you know, to see how things are going.
Right. Delta Dave Geyer, tell us a little bit about this overall, not just what our musicians are going to be doing, but, you know, Jared Tate and the student, you know, musical compositions. Mm-hmm. Give us a scope of, you know, for people who have been following the orchestra for a while now, there's some familiar names and some, and those great student works as well.
True. So we'll have, Jeffrey Paul, our principal oboist, will be obviously with us, but also he's written pieces. A couple of his pieces will be featured while we're in D.C., one for Cedar Flute and Chamber Orchestra, and the other one that his woodwind quintet will play with Emmanuel Black Bear singing with a hand drum. And he'll be speaking about that as well. Ted Whippred, who's been our composer in residence and has run our student academies for Lakota and Dakota high schoolers, will be with us as well. And we'll play several of those student compositions while we're in D.C. as well. Mm-hmm. So, because it wouldn't be, at this point, the Lakota Music Project wouldn't be complete without these students' works.
Right. Mm-hmm. What do you hope the residents of this event is?
Well, so Lakota Music Project,
in 30 seconds.
Yeah, okay. The South Dakota Symphony is actually better known outside the state of South Dakota because of the innovation and what we do. That's why we're going to D.C. That's why we were invited to go to D.C. So I'm hoping that not only will we have more of a national platform, but that people here will have a better understanding of who we are and what we do.
Absolutely.
All right, so that send-off concert is Tuesday, October 15th at 7:30 p.m. in the Washington Pavilion Visual Arts Center.
Yeah, Visual Art Gallery.
Visual Art Gallery, thank you, and we'll be there. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate your time, and thanks for representing in Washington.
We're the ambassadors.
Thank you.